A cold August people everywhere. A time to make the most decisive stand. Be the price what it may, proclaim to all God's way. Repair the breach, restore the past to dwell in. Fight for the faith, once delivered to the saints, and endeavor to preserve the truth. He died for to uphold, give the last call of mercy, and prepare the people for God's return. Fight for the faith, keep up the truth of the Lord. With Jesus, let us press to the front. Keep up the banner, mightily proclaim. No matter where my people, the cheap or take that offer sin. Obey God's holy law and receive God's holy spirit. Fight for the faith, what is delivered to the saints, and endeavor to preserve the truth. Desire for to uphold, give the last call of mercy, and prepare the people for God's return. Fight for the faith, keep up the truth of the Lord. Be of one mind, one judgment, one faith, in Jesus, one love, strengthen and encourage, quiet down, and together lift up your voices. To the saints and endeavor to preserve the truth. He died for to uphold, give the last call of mercy and prepare the people for God's return. Fight for the faith, keep up the truth. Fight for the faith, once delivered to the saints and endeavor the truth, it's our vote to oppose. Keep the last call of mercy and prepare the people for God's return. Fight for the faith, leap up the truth of the Lord. Leap up the truth of the Lord.
Happy Sabbath, everyone. Do you hear me clear? All right. Praise the Lord. Yeah, that's an old song, but it's an original composition. Praise the Lord. It's telling us to fight for the faith. Praise the Lord. So before we start, I invite you all to pray. If you can kneel. Please do so. Our dear Heavenly Father, we humbly ask that you continue to be with us through your Holy Spirit as we break the showbread. Thank you, Father, for blessing the children in the adult study that we had earlier. It's really amazing how that you are impressing us to have one mind in bearing your holy word. Thank you for the messages. Please continue to prepare our hearts to receive your holy words willingly and be able to apply them in our life. Father, please guide my tongue as I speak on your behalf. And forgive your church, Father, for all the sins we have committed against thee. May we feel the peace and joy as we worship you in this beautiful Sabbath day. For we ask all these things in the name of our loving Savior, Jesus Christ, our Lord and King. Amen. Amen. So, Sabbath blessings, everyone. Today is March 22, 2025. Our topic is about a bag with holes. So I have a slide that I can share so you can follow along. Okay. So that's when I prepare. Thank you for posting that, my dear sister wife, the Lord. Okay. So let us take a moment to look closer at the historical events surrounding the rebuilding of the temple at the time of Prophet Haggai. Let's open our Bible, or you can read in the screen. Haggai chapter 1:1-4. Okay, it just says here, got it? Okay. In the second year of Darius the king, in the sixth month, in the first day of the month, came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet unto Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Josedech, the high priest, saying, thus he speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, this people say, the time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses? And this house, referring to the house of God, lie waste? You know, after 70 years of exile in Babylon, the Jews returned to Jerusalem by King Darius' decree. This was led by Zerubbabel. And their eagerness to rebuild the temple and do God's work, as they came together as if one man, was evident, as they generously offered gifts to the Lord and marking a time of gratitude. You can read the story in Ezra chapter 3. But this revival was short-lived because they faced numerous challenges from their adversary. There was fear, anxiety, and frustration followed, leading a sense of discouragement. So what happened? The building of the Lord's house came to a halt, according to Ezra chapter 4. It's really full of story on here. What happened? When it stopped building, they stopped building, it leaves the foundation open and unprotected. That's why before Prophet Haggai came on the scene, God's people displayed a rather indifferent, or let's say, I don't care attitude towards the task of rebuilding the temple. Then what Haggai said, okay, continue 5, 6, and 9 and 11 of Haggai chapter 1. It says here, now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Ye have sown much and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages, earneth wages to put it in a bag with holes. This is where the title came from. Verse 9, ye look for much, and lo, it came to a little. And when ye brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why? Said the Lord of hosts, because of mine house that is waste, and ye run everyone to his house. Therefore, or unto his own house, therefore, the heaven over you is stayed from dew, and the earth is stayed from her fruit. And I called for a drought upon the land, and upon the mountains, and upon the corn, and upon the new wine, and upon the oil, and upon that which the ground bringeth forth, and upon men, and upon cattle, and upon all the labor of the lands, of the hands. So the Lord pointed out the problem. Why do they have a bag with holes? Because they left the house of God unfinished. They became indifferent about carrying on God's work while they were more concerned with themselves, with their own houses, with their selfish interests and temporal enjoyment. That's why in verses 7 and 8, same book, Haggai 1, he provided a solution to this problem. He said in Haggai chapter 1, 7 and 8, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways, go up to the mountain, and bring wood, and build the house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. Do we want to glorify God? Of course. So let's all build the house of God. Let's prioritize the interest of God before anything else. Let's prioritize God's work. Many Christians have a good, solid foundation in the faith. But unfortunately, they are no longer growing Christians. Why? Because they are not advancing in their faith. Yeah, they are stagnant. They started out with a lot of enthusiasm. They're so eager, so zealous, but the problem, they are not building anymore. Their one solid foundation is now exposed to the degrading effect of the world system of values and attitudes. They want to keep up with the standard of the world. That's the problem. And as a result, their religious life is falling apart. It's deteriorating. Many have an I don't care attitude like how the Jews rebuilt the temple in the past. Many homes, they struggle every month because they do not have enough money to pay their regular bills. Why? And to cover up the obligations, it is a common practice to borrow money from a generous friend, or if you have no choice, from the informal financiers known in the Philippines. You know, this is popular. 5-6 loan from Bombay. Yeah, there's plenty of rich Indians there who lend money to Filipinos. In fact, it is now also common for lenders to accept ATM cards as collateral. Yeah, that's only in the Philippines, I think. Next, there's yet another bill to pay, then another loan to take on, and the cycle continues, which seems to be the norm. Until one day, you realize you are now enslaved by what? By death, leading to moral disgrace and despair. But the question is, didn't God promise to provide for our needs? Of course He does. But why does money feel so difficult? Why do you never seem to be able to make ends meet? Why do you always struggle to pay your bills? Why? Because your bag is full of holes. And that's the Bible. That's the reason for the story in Haggai. You have to put God first. The reason why you don't have enough and are not filled is because you put your hard-earned wages into a bag with holes, meaning that when your priorities are not in line with God's priorities, when you put yourself first and God last, your bag will definitely have holes. And we get discouraged and lose faith. Well, we must remember that His promises are all conditional. If we are first obedient and faithful to our duties, then we will surely receive the promise. If we faithfully build the house of the Lord first and prioritize His work by honoring Him, we may testify that the Lord really cares for us and supplies our necessities all the time. Although, not always our wants. If we first honor Him, He will pour out the richest blessings from heaven. And according to Matthew chapter 6:33, we all are familiar with this, it says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Also in 5P 459 paragraph 2, 5P 459 paragraph 2, it says, "So long as we are in the world, we must have to do with the things of the world. There will ever be a necessity for the transaction of temporal, secular business, but this should never become all-absorbing." You know, one fanaticism that I encountered in the Philippines, those who are teaching fanaticism, okay, because the Lord is near, no need to work, no need to go to school. So there's a lot of people who are deceived. They stop going to school. They start to resign and go to the mountain. Okay? But that is fanaticism. We must occupy till I come, the Lord said. But this should never become all-absorbing. The Apostle Paul has given a safe rule, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, Romans 12:11. The humble, common duties of life are all to be performed with fidelity, heartily, says the Apostle, as to the Lord. Whatever our department of labor, okay, because see, as a body, we have a different departments. So whatever department of labor, be it housework or field work or intellectual pursuits, we may perform it to the glory of God, so long as we make first and last and best in everything. But aside from these worldly employments, there is given to every follower of Christ a special work. What is that? For the upbuilding of His kingdom, a work which requires personal effort for the salvation of men. It is not a work to be performed once a week merely. at the place of worship, but at all times and at all places. Not only every Sabbath, but every day. Yeah, many people, they claim to honor God, but are they actually doing it? Or are they just simply saying it? Because there's a big difference, right? So, when the Pharisees and scribes asked Jesus why the disciples do not keep the tradition of the elders or tradition of man, he quoted Isaiah 29:13. So, we read in Mark 7:67. Mark 7:67, it says, He answered and said unto them, Well, hath Esaias prophesied of you, hypocrites, as it is written, This people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandment of men. So, are we honoring our loving God with our heart by doing faithfully what He commands us to do, or just merely with our lips? Do we truly love Him with all our hearts, as Jesus told us to do in Luke chapter 10? Luke 10:27, it says, And He answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. Now, there are at least two ways to honor our God. Number one, in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9, Proverbs 3:9, we honor God with our substance. It says here, Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. In this text, the substance here refers to the capital, while the increase is to the revenue. In short, it points to the tithe, or also called tenth, which God claims as His own. Leviticus 27:30 and Genesis 28:22 has told us this. It says in Leviticus 27:30, And all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord. Genesis 28:22, And this is stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house, and of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. The second way to honor God is by keeping the Sabbath holy. That's why we are all here keeping the Sabbath day. It should be Isaiah 58:13. I think I put a different reference there. Sorry, just correct it. Isaiah 58:13. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord honorable, and shall honor him not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words. So we will notice that the tithe and the Sabbath are both holy unto the Lord, because they are both sanctified, and our God claims them both as His own, because they are not ours. Our temple is not ours. Our treasure is not ours. Remember that. It is holy unto the Lord. So we honor God first by returning to Him the sacred portion of our income which is the tithe, the tenth. Not because God himself needs the money. No, it's not. Everything we have, they belong to him. Haggai chapter 2, verse 8. Yeah, we are just a steward. Haggai 2, 8 and Psalms 50, 10, 11 says, the silver is mine, and the gold is mine, said the Lord of hosts. For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon the thousand hills. I know all the fowls of the mountains and the wild beasts of the field are mine. In other words, the earth, the universe belongs to God. Yes, our God provides all our basic needs, like the food, the shelter, our clothing, as well, good health, as well as material blessings, and sometimes our wants. Because he truly cares for you and I. He knows even the desires of our hearts, according to Psalms 21, verse 2. And just read that later. And that includes our holy tithe, dear brothers and sisters. He wanted to see if we will honor him and do his will. And why does God need the sacred tithe, by the way? You know, during the time of the Old Testament, the tithes were used to support the Levites. They are the one working in the tabernacle. You know, Numbers 18 verse 2, it says, and behold, I have given the children of Levi all the ten in Israel for an inheritance, for their service which they serve, even the service of the tabernacle of the congregation. And in the New Testament, the Christian church duty is to give the tithe to support the ordained gospel ministers as they work full time for the Lord. That's why Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9:11-14, if we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we shall reap your carnal things? If others be partakers of this power over you, are not we rather? Nevertheless, we have not used this power, but suffer all things, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. Do ye not know that they which minister about holy things live of the things of the temple? And they which wait at the altar are partakers with the altar. Even so, had the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. You know, one of Satan's plans is to keep the money in his own rank and to make people covetous, selfish. He wanted to withhold their tithe so that the work will be hindered. He wanted to gain more followers so that the work will not go forward. 4SP 339.2, he called for a council meeting with his minions, and he's presiding that meeting, and one of their agenda, you know, one of the agenda of Satan, it says, 4SP 339, paragraph 2, go, make the possessors of the lands and money drink with the cares of this life. He's telling that to the evil angels. Huh? Present the world before them in its most attractive light, that they may lay up their treasure here and fix their affection upon earthly things. We must do our utmost to prevent those who labor in God's cause from obtaining means to use against us. And then he said, keep the money in our own ranks. Because the more means they obtain, the more they will endure our kingdom by taking from us our subjects. Make them care more for money than for the upbuilding of Christ's kingdom and the spread of the truth we hate. And we need not fear their influence, for we know that every selfish, covetous person will fall under our power and will finally be separated from God's people. So why Satan wants to control the money? He wanted to, what? Make the people covetous. Not only that. Early writings, 266.1, it says, control the money matters if you can, and drive their ministers to want and distress. This will weaken their courage and zeal. Battle every inch of ground. Make covetousness and love of earthly treasures the ruling traits of their character. As long as these traits rule, salvation and grace stand back. Crowd every attraction around them, and they will be surely ours. And not only are we sure of them, but their hateful influence will not be exercised to lead others to heaven. And when any shall attempt to give, put within them a grudging disposition that it may be sparingly. Dear brothers and sisters, do you get this? Satan's plan works well when you feel reluctant and hesitant to give what the Lord required you to give. He wanted us to be covetous, to be selfish, to focus on self and always get and not give. According to Christ's Object Lesson 259, paragraph 1, to live for self is to perish. Covetousness, the desire of benefit for self's sake, cuts the soul off from life. It is the spirit of Satan to get, to draw to self. He always wants to receive. Okay, receive and receive. Get. But it is the spirit of Christ to give, to sacrifice self for the good of others. So, instead of aiding the enemy in carrying out his plan, let us defeat him. By what? By totally returning and giving to the Lord our increase. It says in 2 Corinthians 9:6-7, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. 7, every man according as he hath purpose in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly, because that's what Satan wants, or of necessity, okay, because it's okay to give on this time. But God loveth a cheerful giver. So let us strive to give willingly and cheerfully rather than grudgingly and reluctantly. Look at the promise of God. Proverbs 11:24-25. It says, there is that is scattereth, meaning those who are keeping and yet increaseth, And there is that withholdeth, those who are only getting, withholdeth more than is meet, but it tendeth to poverty. The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also. And that's a promise. So, are you, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. In Malachi chapter 3, verse 8, Malachi 3:8, will a man rob God? Yes, you have robbed me, but you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Are we robbing God? God requires us to return the portion of the blessing he has entrusted us to our tithes and offerings. Not only tithes, but also offerings. Think about this. It wasn't your money in the first place. You are only a steward. God calls it robbery when you withhold your tithes and offerings, and that's breaking what commandment? Commandment number 8, thou shalt not steal. In fact, not only you rob God by withholding them, you are actually robbing yourself of eternal riches. You are hurting yourself according to Ecclesiastes 5:13. It says, there is a sore evil which I have seen under the sun, namely, riches kept for the owners thereof to their heart. You know, the Lord really wants to do amazing thing through His people, to us, because we are now in the last days. You know, when God's people stop giving tithes, what will happen? The ministers who are called to do God's work, they face challenges and slow down their work. And that's what the enemy wants. Not only that, you know, since the harvest of souls is ripe, but the lack of honest tithe is also another reason for shortage of ministers. Like the unfinished work of the temple, many ministerial projects remain unfinished. Yes, the ministry, we are all praying about it. We praise the Lord for those who are faithful, those who are cheerful givers. So we can do a lot with the money you give, because the Lord taught us how to be good stewards. And only the Father, loving Father, who bestows all this blessing, deserves praise. We deserve no thanks with God. All glory to Him. Praise the Lord. As you know, the ministry never asks. We never beg for money from the pulpit. Just like the Apostle Paul, we have learned early this morning. Because we don't want to make a wrong impression to cheapen the holy work. That's why even the YouTube channel and in the Facebook channel like that, they are asking us to what? Monetize the channel, the group. But no, we don't want to give an impression that downgrade the work of God. No. You never hear that to any minister in the SDR church. But on the other hand, this does not give you the freedom to not give your tithe at all. If this remnant church has blessed you with the present truth, would it be wise to tithe to our ministers to bless others? And this is how the gospel is being spread before and it will be spread also today. So, in other words, the tithing system is really a blessing. And even if you are not called to preach or teach, you can still work for Christ by tithing to those who are ordained and support a missionary abroad. You know, right now, we only have a few ordained ministers and some workers here and abroad. But we pray that the Lord will send more workers to the field because the field is great. The harvest is ready. We pray to have as many workers as possible we can on each country as possible to spread the gospel. But not only our prayer is needed this time, we also need your gift. And why is the church organized? Why are we here in the first place? In volume 6, 6029, paragraph 3, it says here, up to 30, the Church of Christ on earth was organized for missionary purposes, and the Lord desires to see the entire church devising ways and means whereby high and low, rich and poor may hear the message of truth. Not all are called to personal labor in foreign fields, but all can do something by their prayers and their gifts to aid the missionary work. I'm so happy because Pastor Nick sent me this quotation too, and I told him, oh wow, so amazing. We have the same mind. The Lord is really impressing us on this. Praise the Lord. In 6029 paragraph 4, it says, an American businessman who was an earnest Christian in conversation with a fellow worker remarked that he himself worked for Christ 24 hours of the day. So we are so thankful too that we have the website while we are sleeping. You know, people can visit them. We are actually working 24 hours too, that means. But in this case, it says, in all my business relations, he said, I try to represent my master as I have opportunity. I try to win others to him. All day I am working for Christ, and at night while I sleep, I have a man working for him in China. And then next paragraph, 6030 paragraph 1, he says, in explanation, he added, in my youth, I determined to go as missionary to the hidden. So we have a bunch of young people here who are longing to be a missionary for Christ. So just continue and pray about it. We are thankful for that. The Lord is pleased. And continue, it says, but on the death of my father, I had to take up his business in order to provide for the family. He has to go work. That's why, as Pastor Nick was saying earlier, the Lord is teaching us, you know, to be self-supporting first so that we will have much experience in how to handle the Church of God, the work. So it says here, now instead of going, going myself, I support a missionary. So he was working, but he's now supporting a missionary in such a town of such a province of China. My worker is stationed. And so even while I sleep, I am, through my representative, still working for Christ. See, the Spirit moves right now. And if you refuse to give something for the Lord now, God forbid, He will pronounce you as unfaithful servant in the end. I want to share my a little experience. My family and I, as a testimony for those brethren in the remnant movement who are experiencing financial difficulties and do not tithe. As we have learned so far, there is a reason why you cannot make ends meet. Your bag is full of holes. Yes, everybody has financial troubles. My family is not exempted. You know, when I moved to the U.S., from the Philippines, I received no support from the Philippines, even though I was entitled to it as an ordained minister. But life must go on. In fact, I was accused by some of my previous co-workers at the time that I abandoned the faith because I migrated to U.S. That's really craziness, right? But I left my reputation with God. I don't care what they said. So I must work a secular job to earn a living while also actively working in the ministry. That's why I created this website to evangelize. I started to generate tracts. I composed spiritual songs, praise the Lord. I gave Bible studies online and offline, among others. Eventually, I got married to my lovely wife, praise the Lord. I was blessed with two beautiful children afterwards. But you know, we send our tithes regularly and faithfully to our church ministers. We never fail. But I stopped sending tithes, you know, to my previous home church when they started to preach false doctrine that there is no sanctuary in heaven. And they accused me of withholding my tithes. But no, I will not support a corrupt church with my tithes. And not very long, we separated from them, from that church, and we joined a purer faith, the SDR Church, in 2016. That's God's providence. And we started to give our holy tithes to the SDR ministry. By the way, I have known POGM since 2000. That's like over two decades already. But, you know, I never joined them. Due to prejudice. Okay. The COVID pandemic furloughed both my wife and me from our jobs in 2020. I was a manager at the time, but the Lord never failed us. We literally experienced the miracle from the Lord. Like, you know, the widow in Elijah, in Elisha's time, whose bottle of oil never ran out. Remember that story? Yes, God provided our oil enough to get us going. But we never doubted for two straight years. On and off, my wife returned to work, but I didn't. They said, okay, when the occupancy reached to 50%, we're gonna call you back. But no, that didn't happen. So I drove for, you know, Uber at the Lyft drive to earn an additional income. We always pray for His guidance on what He wants us to do. And then time came before the year 2021 ends when we were impressed by the Lord and decided to go back to the Philippines to start a new livelihood with our little savings while working for the Lord full-time at the same time. In fact, we already shipped everything home to the Philippines. How many boxes? It's a lot of boxes. 40. Surprisingly, the Lord had another plan for us. Brother Pastor Nick called me one day and said that he was impressed by the Holy Spirit to call me and ask me if I wanted to work full time and help in the ministry. You know, that time it's really like a bucket of ice water poured upon my head. My wife was also shaking as well when she heard that. In short, instead of traveling to the Philippines, we choose to relocate to the mainland to assist with the publishing ministry for 6 months initially, and then we go back to the Philippines. And from there, the Lord led the way, and we never asked for or expected any support. We just asked our Father, and He provided all our needs. Yes, He uses people. We never lack anything. But the Lord keeps opening a way for us to do the work. What started in 6 months has turned into years until now. We are here. So as my wife and I look back on our life in the past, we could really say that the Lord blessed us in ways we could not express ourselves. He tested our faith, which until now we always have. And He keeps on training us to always trust in Him no matter what. We knew for sure that the Lord would fulfill His promise to us when we obeyed and gave back our tithe to Him and do His work faithfully. Yes, the tithing is one of the times in the Bible when the Lord says, okay, it's okay to put Him to the test. Prove me, He says in Malachi 3:10. Malachi 3:10 says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. If I will not open and prove me now, herewith saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruits before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. You can see God's hand move. He truly is alive and real in our lives. That's why in Luke chapter 6:38 says, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom, for with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. As a Bible rule, tithes are solely for the support of the ordained gospel ministers of the Lord. But free will and love offerings are used for charity, to help the worthy poor and needy, like buying Bibles, SOP books to give away, what else? Printing present truth tracts and other related needs to spread the truth. Yeah, love offerings are based on your heart. As we read in 2 Corinthians 9, 6-7 earlier. So that's why if we are generous in our love offerings, the Lord is generous also in the blessing. Psalms 96:8 says, give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Bring an offering. Come into His court. And how can we store up wealth for the future in heaven? Luke 12:33 says, sell that ye have and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old. This is the bag that we wanted with no holes. A treasure in the heavens and faileth not, where no thief approaches, neither moth corrupted. Remember our condition when we were born? 1 Timothy 6:7. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. Even the billionaires or trillionaires who have, they cannot carry their money then. Only in their grave. So, dear brothers and sisters, as we have learned, the people showed reverence for the Lord as a result of Haggai's message. They were stirred up in spirit And what happened? They returned to work in building the temple. We can read that in Haggai 1. Haggai 1, I think I didn't put that one here. Haggai chapter 1, yeah, 12 to 15. Haggai 1, 12 to 15. Sorry, I forgot to put that here. It says here, just look at the chat room. It says here, then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Josedech, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God, and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had said to him. And the people did fear before the Lord. Then spake Haggai, the Lord's messenger, in the Lord's message unto the people, saying, I am with you, saith the Lord. And 14, and the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Josedech, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. And they came and did work in the house of the Lord of hosts, their God, in the 24th day of the 6th month, in the 2nd year of Darius the king. So this is a wonderful change of attitude. When the Lord moved the heart and energized by the Spirit of God. The shift from irreverent indifference to reverent action in building up the house of the Lord was truly amazing. And today, we find ourselves inspired in a similar way as our hearts are steered and energized by the Holy Spirit as we finish the holy work of the Lord. That's why in Haggai chapter 2, verse 19, this is my last text that I'm going to share. So that next time you feel that your bag is full of holes, just think about these words from the prophet Haggai. He says here, Haggai 2:19, is the seed yet in the barn? Yea, as yet the vine and the fig tree and the pomegranate and the olive tree had not brought forth. From this day will I bless you. So I hope and pray that you are blessed this Sabbath day.
Let him in, let him in. the feeble-minded, support the weak. The strength in these weary hands and feeble knees, my inconsistencies, they show but he's helping me. Hidden in Christ, a life of restfulness. Laborers we are together with him. What a completely free gift, none but his righteousness. He's knocking on your heart. Will you let him in? Let him in. Will you let him in? Let him in. Let him in. Jesus is knocking at your heart.
Shall we all kneel again, if you can? And then I'll close in prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for blessing us with your comforting words this Sabbath day. You're so amazing. You're so wonderful. Thank you, Lord, for holding us in times of trials and adversities so we will not fail. Help us, Father, to build up the work, the holy work, through our gifts and our best efforts until it is completed and perfected in us through your abundant grace, through your divine power. Thank you for your holy presence and for your goodness. Thank you for the peace and serenity we felt amidst difficulty. We ask, Father, that you please bless your church. Bless your people around the world with the large measure of the latter rain you have promised. Unite us together, Lord. Strengthen us, for we are in the last days. We want to be ready. Help us preparing for your kingdom. And please stay with us for the remainder of this Holy Sabbath day. And Father, please forgive us for all the sins we have done. For we ask all these things in the name of our loving Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.